But let's look at verse 35 this morning, John 6:35. Tonight we'll be studying the sixth chapter, but Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus had been in a deserted area near the city of Bethsaida, which is along the northern Galilee seashore. As it came towards evening, there were thousands of people, 5,000 men plus women and children. And so Jesus turned to Philip and said, where do you suppose we can buy enough bread to feed all these people? John tells us that he was just testing him because he knew what he was going to do. Philip was overwhelmed. He said, Lord, I don't think that $8,000 worth of bread would feed this crowd. Andrew spoke up and he said, well, there's a little boy over here that has 5 loaves, a couple of fish. But what's that with this many people? Jesus said to his disciples, have the people sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And he blessed them. And then he said to his disciples, now distribute these among the people. And they began to distribute the bread and the fish among the people until they all ate and were stuffed. And Jesus said, now gather up the fragments that remain. And they gathered together 12 baskets filled with fragments. Now, when the people saw this, they were thinking about taking Jesus and by force making him the king. He had satisfied their physical need, their hunger. They were impressed. We're willing to have this kind of person rule over us, one that can fill our stomachs. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, sent the disciples across the sea back over to Capernaum, which was about 6 miles away, commanding them that they should go to Capernaum. While he dismissed the crowds and he went up into a mountain alone and there was praying to the Father. Now we are told concerning the disciples that when they were about halfway across the sea, they had gone about 2.5 to 3 miles, there came up this strong wind that was blowing against them so that they weren't really making any progress. They were just sort of floundering, rowing against the wind, doing their best to obey the command of Jesus to get to Capernaum, but they were having a hard time doing it because of the heavy seas and the strong wind. Brings up an interesting sidelight. So oftentimes when we are obeying the commandments of God, doing what we feel the Lord has told us to do, we run into contrary winds. We run into rough weather. It's wrong to think that if I am in the will of God, doing what God has commanded me, that it's going to be smooth sailings, the wind at my back. It's not always that way. Many times as we seek to do the will of the Lord, we find the winds are contrary to us. We find that it isn't always an easy path following His commands. But the Lord saw their distress. Now we are told in the first part of the chapter that it was Passover, which means that it was full moon. And as Jesus was sitting there on the mountain in that full moon, because the sea is not that far across, you can see all the way across it at that point, He, in that bright moonlight, could see the struggle they were having out on the sea. And so He decided to help them. And so He came to them walking on the water. When they saw Him walking on the water, approaching them, they were frightened. They thought maybe it was a ghost or something. They couldn't figure it out. And He said, "Don't be afraid, it's only me." And when He entered into the ship with them, immediately they were on the opposite shore there at Capernaum. The Lord oftentimes commands us to go into places that we find great difficulty. We find ourselves doing our best to obey, but not having the strength or the ability to do so. It's always good that the Lord comes to our aid, when we are seeking to obey His will. He never commands us to do anything but what He doesn't. Give us the capacity and the power to do it by His presence with us. The next morning, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue there at Capernaum. And over in Bethsaida, the people had seen the disciples leave in a ship. They knew that Jesus had gone up into a mountain. So they were looking for Jesus and not finding Him. They headed over to Capernaum, and they were surprised to see Him teaching in the synagogue. They said, "Master, how in the world did you get here?" And then, rather than answering their question, He just said, "You are seeking Me because you ate of the bread and were filled." That is the wrong motive. Because you've had a physical need satisfied is not the right motive in seeking Me. You're seeking the Lord on the wrong level if you are seeking the Lord for what physical benefits might fall out to you. I can remember when I was a boy living in Ventura that every other year when the county coroner was to be elected, he was in church the Sunday before Election Day. That's being in church for the wrong purpose. There are many people who are looking for the material gain or benefits. That's the wrong motive in seeking Jesus. And so Jesus sort of rebuked them for seeking Him with wrong motivation. And He said unto them, "Labor not for the bread that perishes." Don't let that be your life. Don't let your life be consumed in laboring for the bread that perishes, but for that which endures to everlasting life. Don't give your life over to the material realm, but to the spiritual realm. Don't labor for the things that are going to perish, but for those things that will endure life everlasting. And so their question was, what shall we do that we might do or that we might work the works of God. You'd say to labor for that which will endure. What is that labor? What should we do? Define what you mean to labor for the bread that will endure to everlasting life. Back in the beginning, when God placed man in the Garden of Eden and gave to him the choice of freely eating of all of the trees within the garden and prohibiting him from eating of the tree which was in the midst of the garden, because to eat of it would result in death, man, we knew, made the wrong choice and ate of that tree that brought death. As the result of the eating of that tree, which appealed to his flesh, it was disobeying the spiritual pull and yielding to the fleshly desires, because the fruit was so beautiful, so attractive, and so delicious. In living and giving himself over to trying to satisfy the desires of the flesh, God said the result of it is that you will earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. You're going to find that living after the flesh is going to be difficult. It's going to take real sweat. You'll earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. And that was a part of the result of choosing the life of the flesh. Now Jesus is saying, don't sweat or don't labor for that bread that perishes, but rather for that bread which will endure unto everlasting life. What is the work? What is the labor? They had the scriptures. In Deuteronomy, God said, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you?" And then it gave them three requirements. To fear the Lord thy God, four requirements. To walk in all of his ways. To love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. This is God's requirement. To fear the Lord. Walk in his ways. Love him and to serve him with everything you have. Later on, the prophet Micah said, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, be fair, be honest, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." You say, "Well, Chuck, that's Old Testament. That's law. I mean, that's hard. I mean, I can't do that. I failed." Don't we have something in the New Testament? You know, Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek. Don't we have something that, you know, he's told us God's requirement? Yes, we have the words of Jesus. He said simply, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." What does God require of you? Perfection. Be perfect. Now, immediately, we are aware that we have not kept God's requirement, which is a confession to missing the mark. The moment you confess, "I'm not perfect," That is a confession of sin because God wants you to be perfect. So it's a confession of sin. No, I'm not perfect. I haven't hit the mark. So what must I do to work the work of the Father? I mean, I'm a sinner. I have failed. I desire that bread that will endure to everlasting life. I want everlasting life. I want a relationship with God. What must I do? What is the work? And Jesus said, this is the work. God's actual requirement for you now. That you believe on Him who He has sent. Oh, I like that. Now it's in my range. You see, that's a matter of choice. And I can choose now to believe in Him. God's ideal requirement I was not capable of fulfilling. I came short, far short. But God's actual requirement now, I can handle. Just to believe on Jesus Christ. He's put it within the range of every man. Now, they went ahead and they said, now, what sign do you show us that we might believe? This is God's work, just believe on me. Well, show us a sign that we might believe. For they said, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, Moses had prophesied concerning the Messiah that another prophet shall arise like unto myself, and to him you shall give heed. So, one of the great things that God had done through the ministry of Moses was the providing of the manna for them. So that was a sign to them that he was indeed God's prophet. So what sign do you show us? Give us the bread. They're still thinking on the physical, material level. They have not yet attain to the spiritual level. Give us the bread. What sign will you show us? The interesting thing is that just the day before, he had taken the five loaves and fed the whole multitude with just the five loaves. Surely they were cognizant. In fact, they were ready to make him king and acclaim him as king because of that. What sign do you show us? Jesus said, my Father gives to you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who came down from heaven and gives his life unto the world. They said, evermore give us this bread. I'm reminded of just a couple of chapters earlier, when Jesus was doing much the same thing, taking people from the material realm into the spiritual realm. The woman of Samaria, from the material realm of physical thirst and water to quench physical thirst, into the spiritual realm, the spiritual thirst for man, and how that can be quenched through Jesus. And when he said, if you drink of the water that I give, you'll never thirst again. It will be like a well of water springing up within. And she said, give me this water that I thirst not again, nor have to come out here to draw. Here he is taking them into the spiritual realm. He's talking about this bread of God the one that God has sent into the world and gives his life for the world. And they said, evermore give us this bread, that we don't hunger again. It was at this point that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me will never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Now, admittedly, that is an extremely radical claim. For Jesus to say, if you believe in me, you will never hunger. Or if you come to me, you'll never hunger. If you believe in me, you'll never thirst. That's radical. So radical that it demands that you have an opinion concerning it. You have to react to that. You can't be neutral to it. The statement that Jesus is making is either true or false. He is either the bread of life or he's a classic fraud. He will either satisfy your hunger or he is a deceiver. And there's only one way you can find out if what he said is true or not. And that's personal experience. As the psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. But you see, you have to taste to find out. It should be noted that there are thousands here today who have partaken of Jesus Christ and who will witness that he has so satisfied them that they are now content. Their search and their quest for God is over. They have found a meaningful relationship with God through Jesus Christ. How can you dispute their claims if you haven't tried for yourself and you haven't yourself come to Jesus? You see, it always boils down to personal choice and personal action. Yes, I choose to eat of that bread of life. The moment you make that choice, then it's either proven or disproven to you. If you go on still with a clamant cry for meaning and for purpose, and you're still searching and you still feel we got to go to Vegas next weekend and this kind of stuff, then didn't work. Didn't take. Jesus said, he that cometh to me, you see, it's very personal. What will happen? You'll never hunger, you'll never thirst. In a few sentences down the page, Jesus will be saying to them, and he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If you come to me, you'll never hunger. If you come to me, there's no way that I'll cast you out. You see, you don't have to come with a lot of trepidation thinking, oh, I wonder, you know, I've been so horrible. I've done so much wrong. I don't know if he'll receive me. No, he said it. Whoever comes, I will in no wise cast out. And just a little bit further, again, we find him saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. He said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. But he who eats of the bread that came from heaven shall not die. I am the living bread that came from heaven. And if any man shall eat of this bread, he shall live forever. For the bread that I shall give is my flesh that I will give for the life of the world. Here we have once again the glorious gospel. Man was not capable of keeping the ideal requirements of God. To fail to keep God's requirements is sin. The penalty of sin is death or separation from God. But Jesus came to give his life, his body, his flesh, as an atoning sacrifice for man's sin. And he is God's only provision for the removal of your sin. There is no other way given among men whereby you can be saved. To believe on him is to have everlasting life. It's to come into fellowship with God. It's to meet God. It's to relate to God. It's to have that spiritual void in your life filled to where you're not hungering or thirsting again in that realm because you have found and discovered this relationship with God. To not believe in him is to suffer the consequences of your sin and to live forever hungering and thirsting for fellowship with God, which you cannot attain because your sin is standing in the way. You'll always be trying to fill that recognized void in your life with pleasures or relationships or other pursuits that may give you promise of fulfillment, but they're never able to produce. It's like Jesus said concerning the well that was there in Samaria, if you drink of that water, you will thirst again. If you drink of the world's substitutes, you'll thirst again. If you partake of what the world is offering, you'll hunger again. But if you will just come to Jesus and believe in him, you will never hunger or thirst again. This is his promise. And he has kept his promise to those who have come. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for the bread of heaven, the bread of life. We thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to give your body as a sacrifice for our sins, that you might remove that barrier that kept us from God, so that we, through you, can approach and have fellowship with the Creator, our Heavenly Father. Lord, what blessings are ours because of you and what you have done. And now, Lord, even as you said, a person couldn't come except the Father draw him. We pray that your Father, our God, might draw them now unto you, the bread of life, that they might eat and live forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? As we said, it becomes a matter of personal choice, personal decision. Whoever comes, I will in no wise cast out, but it you have to do it. Can't be done for you. Jesus was proving his disciples when he said, "Where can we buy the bread to feed them?" He was proving them when he said, "Go to the other side," and they were having difficulty. It would have been a lot easier just to turn around and go with the wind and come on back and say, "Well, we'll go in the morning." It was a test. And you can prove him. If whether or not what he said is true. By eating of that bread of life. Coming to him. You'll never know unless you try it. For you who are hungering and thirsting after God and after a meaningful relationship with God, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room and there receive Jesus Christ. Our pastors and counselors will be back there to minister to you. And you can go home today filled, never to hunger or thirst again for spiritual reality, for you can find it today in a relationship with Jesus Christ. May the Lord be with you and bless you, watch over and keep you in his love until we meet again on Thursday night in the stadium to watch the work of God's Spirit in the hearts and lives of many people.